Messias la dà lunga su Leao, Leao, Leao contro Kuhnmeiners, Leao, Leao, Leao. Goal! Ha segnato Leao!
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm your host, Ollie Fisher, joined once again by Anthony Targrud.
What's up guys? Glad to be back. Yeah, we actually get to talk about games today, so that's kind of fun. And we have Madison for the second week in a row.
I think I missed the same week that you missed.
Yeah, but last week when I said I'm back, you said, I don't know when the last time I was on was.
Yeah. Well,
now
I remember.
Time to say that I should be on next week, actually, but the week after I won't be, and the week after that probably should be, but it will be my birthday. So, yeah, might be missing one here coming up, but we'll power through regardless. Can get the B team involved if necessary. They appreciate a call up. Speaking of which, we've got some preseason friendlies to talk about, some action. It's not meaningful action, but are we going to overanalyze it anyway? You bet we are.
Who's leading the team with assists right now?
Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
Captain America, baby.
Luca Romero's outscoring him 2-0. So,
yeah,
look, it's mad. It's great. It's good fun. Like, you know, when you start off preseason with the game at your training ground against a team that, all right, like when we played them last season, we only beat them 3-2. And they were in Serie D then, which is obviously fourth tier. They got promoted to Serie C, but we did them 7-0 this time, which felt a bit like overkill, but yeah, that's kind of like it is a preseason game. Like it counts, it's a game, but it was like a 30 odd minute half, and then it was like 66 minutes in total. Nobody knew when full time was going to come, and then obviously we've flown out to the United States now. We're on the west coast. I don't think it is the coast actually. Is it Pasadena?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, right. Okay. I mean, there you go.
It's within an hour of. It's close. Yeah. It's in LA.
So we're on the west side of the country now, and we had a game pretty quickly after that. Obviously, the Real Madrid game that I'm sure everybody is aware of, but we're going to talk through both games with a bit more emphasis, obviously, on the Madrid game, given that we got to see some of the internationals back in action, and it was against an opponent where you can perhaps get a few more conclusions from it. But first, we're going to touch on the game against Lumezzane. Look, it was a run out. It was red hot. It was 36 Celsius, so that's pretty high. I don't know what that would be in Fahrenheit for our American listeners, but I'm going to guess about 10. No, that's in California. It was like 78. I think at Milanello for that game, it was like 36 degrees Celsius. So it could be like 110.
97.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right.
Which admittedly is hot, and Milan has some humidity. So yeah, that probably
incredibly
wasn't
humid.
Fun.
Yeah. It was a run out, and it was minutes in the legs for a lot of players. We put together really a bit of a cobbled up lineup because I think, you know, the important thing to note at this point is that there was a lot of players who were given an extended break because they represented their country just after the season ended. So without, you know, Maignan, Teo, obviously Liao, and that kind of effect. The starting lineups that you can put out in these kind of games. But we had out there Sportiello, Calabria, Gabia, Tomori, Florenzi, Loftus-Cheek, Krunic, Pobega, Macias, Colombo, Pulisic. And first point to talk about is the Pulisic-Pobega combo. Those two have struck up some relationship out of nowhere.
They have. I don't know how that happened, man, but I hate it. I'll just be honest with you. Like, I want Pulisic to succeed, obviously, and he so far is. 3 assists in 2 games is pretty great. But 2 of those assists have come from Pobega goals. So that worries me that Pulisic is going to see that and say, oh, we should just start Pobega anytime Pulisic is on the field. They link up well. And you saw it in the Madrid game, which we'll get to. They were linking up pretty well again. Obviously, no goals. But, I hope Pobega doesn't become a staple.
You want the team to succeed. So however that happens, you should be happy.
But I don't think we will succeed with Pulisic.
Pulisic might bring the best out of him. You saw it during this game, you know, and that was no easy opponent.
Yeah, podcast over.
Yeah, that'll do. I think, look.
That was a joke, by the way, before people start shitting on me for saying that was a hard opponent.
Back to the B team.
I think the main thing to deduce from it is, I guess really that Pulisic was trying to get his name on the score sheet early on, mm-hmm. and then he lifted his head up a couple of times, and that's what. There's a bit of Liao about that, how like he was trying to do it all himself, but then when he really took that leap forward was when he picked his head up and started looking for options inside the box. Pulisic arrived and straight away, like, he's looking up. And what has characterised Pobega since he's been playing regularly in Serie A is that he can be a nuisance with these late runs into the box. Like, he got one like that in the Champions League. That was kind of how his goal came on the break against Roma in the league. And he scored two goals very similar fashion in this game. And what happened? Oh, yeah, Macias made it 3-0 then. It was a bad giveaway and he sat the keeper down and finished. And that's okay. He didn't have a brilliant game and then got injured in the Real Madrid game, which we'll come on to, I suppose. Lorenzo Colombo got a brace. Now, this is an interesting period for him because there's a lot of speculation surrounding his future and whether he's going to go out on loan or whether we might actually sign another young striker in addition to Noah Okafor, which, again, we will talk about. But, you know, whether Colombo he's going to be 22 this season, but it might be right for him to go out for one more loan spell before we make a definitive judgment on him. With Giroud not here and with Okafor not joining up with the team yet, he's been given a couple of starts in a row. He couldn't really miss the two goals that he scored against Lumitsani, to be honest. One of them was a defensive back pass header that they got massively wrong and it just went straight to him instead of the keeper. And then the other one was another giveaway inside their own third and he just finished one-on-one.
But yeah, I will give him credit, though. The finishes were good finishes. Wasn't like he just scuffed it in and it just bounced in or anything. It wasn't like he just said, oh, there's a ball and got a light touch on it. Like, they were great striker finishes. That said, like I do think he needs another loan. I think his play in the buildup is pretty poor. I know that's sometimes forgivable for a striker. You know, you find him in the box, target man, sort of deal, whatever, but not really the way we have played this preseason. We've been building up more, and I think that's why we went for a guy like Okafor who could create his own chances and is quick and just movement-based for a striker, whereas Colombo kind of lacks that. And I think he did decent at Lecce last season, and another loan move probably around that level, maybe a little bit better, might be good for him. But it's coming to the point where if he does take that next leap, that leap in quality for loan teams, it's going to be a rival and we don't want that. So maybe outside of the league, which is a bit scary, or you send him to a mid-table team, you know, and we'll see how that turns out, but he's not ready yet. And if we do want another striker, then he's got to go out on loan. I
think that you almost have to loan him to a mid-table team to actually see how he fares, right? Mm-hmm. Every team that he's played at has been like in relegation battles.
Yeah, they've struggled. Yeah.
So, you know, and you can say that, like, he's done all right on loan, but how much service did he actually get?
Right.
Yeah, he also scored the goal that kept Lecce in the division. He had come on as a substitute, and they got a very late penalty against Monza. And he said, you know, at the age of 21, big balls, said, I'll take it. I'll be the one responsible for keeping us in the division. As it turned out, they would have done anyway, even if they hadn't won that game. But still, I think that shows, you know, perhaps a mature head on young shoulders. And I think the club rate him, and that's why he hasn't gone anywhere in, like, as a counterpart or anything. We're just going to see what he might become by 23, 24. Sassuolo have been linked, and I think that might be the kind of loan spell that we're looking at. That might be a perfect
team. I do have a question about it, because I'm not sure on this. If we loan him out, since he's still our player, does that still count towards our homegrown, or do we need to get another Italian in to replace that?
We'd need to get another in. Okay.
Well, with Gabbia going to Valencia as well, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. And but you can just promote someone from your B list, which is your under 22 Primavera players. Yeah. So the idea with Gabbia leaving is that we're just going to name Simic in the squad, for example, who we will talk about actually. And that's it. Like, he doesn't have to play, but he's named as eligible. So we're fulfilling that quota. Okay. The more difficult one is the homegrown player. Which we have three of at the moment. So we're kind of like, you know, that might orientate our business towards getting a backup left back that's Italian, for example. The sixth goal in the Lumitsani game was a penalty, stupid penalty to give away, but they were knackered by this point. And so were we, to be honest. We made a few changes here and there, but the game was pretty fraught by the end, to be honest. And yeah, Luca Romero took on the penalty and got his first goal of pre-season. It was a nicely taken penalty. And then there was a nice note for the seventh goal. He brought on a couple of the Primavera guys, one of them being Kevin Zaroli, who is a box-to-box midfielder. He did really well last season. He scored the goal that made us qualify for the Youth League, Youth Champions League semi-finals. So big game player at that level. And he scored with a really nice header. Rose above everybody, bang, far corner. Lovely goal, nice celebration. He grew up like 40 minutes from San Siro as a boyhood Milan fan. And I really hope he's one of them that kicks on in the next couple of seasons and can make it through, because he's one of them like all-action midfielders. You know, the game seems to follow him. And
how old is he?
He'll be good. 18.
Oh, okay. Well, for him,
yeah, so that's the thing about our Primavera team that people don't realise is how young we are. Like, the reason Lecce won the first division in the Primavera is because they're naming 20, 21-year-olds, whereas we're going with, like, Shaka Traore is one of our most experienced players at 18, you know, and Kubis is, like, 19, and we're still quite raw in that sense, but that youthful energy served us well in Europe. So I think we need to just focus on the style of play first, with the results just kind of being a nice added bonus, and then hopefully we'll start to see some players come through. But Obata's using a 4-3-3 as well, which is interesting, because I think it means a lot of these players are slotting in fairly seamlessly. That's it, Lumezzane friendly done. Let's move on to
the big boys.
Our first real test, shall we say.
A Real test.
Real test, yeah.
That's
the Italian players, the Italian papers, sorry, in the build-up to this game, we're talking about a 100,000 sellout crowd. It was 70,000, and apparently there might not have even been that many there in terms of who actually showed up, but it was still about
90. It looked pretty packed, like, based on what I've, like, games I've watched at the Rose Bowl in the past, like, it looked full.
Yeah. It looked packed, but the thing about the Rose Bowl, Madison, you know this, it goes out wide. It's not like Italian stadiums where they go up, you know? So, like, you're not seeing those top rows. They're far out of the camera angle, but everything said it was like 103,000 were going to be there, which is crazy. I think that is like the true maximum capacity, but it was considered a sellout at 70, which to me says they closed, you know, a tier of it.
I think it's like San Siro where the record attendance is 80, but at the moment they're only allowing 72 in for various reasons, which is an old stadium. Like, it's an iconic stadium, isn't it? So it was good to play there, to be honest. It was a great crowd, and although it was 90% Real Madrid, for obvious reasons, like a large Spanish-speaking community in California and whatnot, it was also good to see a decent Milan representation in what is, as Ferlani said, quite an important tour strategically in terms of our exposure and all that kind of thing.
Big shout-out to the Milan clubs, Southern California and Pacific Northwest. They made the trek down there, so shout-out to them for getting some FaceTime.
Yeah, and the official 11 for this, as you've probably guessed, was a bit of a patchwork one, just as it was for the Lumezzane game. Basically, the players that were on international duty came into training like the day before we flew out to the USA, so they weren't going to be risked in this game. They're not even close to best condition, but there was Sportiello in goal. Calabria was right back. Florenzi was left back. Tomori and Simic were the centre-back pairing. Then it was Krunic, Pobega, Loftus-Cheek in midfield, Macias on the right, Pulisic on the left, and Colombo up front. So not too dissimilar to the first friendly. Yeah, a bit pieced together. The Simic thing was interesting because everyone was saying, and by everyone I mean, you know, the papers and sources and whatnot were saying that it was going to be Gabia who started his last game for us before going out on loan to Villarreal for a year. Side note, how do we feel about that? Okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It doesn't bother me. He wasn't going to get much game time anyways. He might have got a few games here and there, but, I mean, it was non-issue for me.
And if it sweetened the deal for the Chukwueze thing, where it means we get him for like 20 mil fixed, then fair enough. I know it's only a dry loan, but it could end up being one of those things that's very mutually beneficial overall. So that's fine, and he's clearly up for it. So best of luck to him in that loan spell. We decided not to play him last night, and I think that was a wise move, to be honest. You don't want to risk injury or anything that could upset the deal. So we put in 18-year-old Primavera centre-back Giancarlo Simic. And he looked like the 26-year-old that had played multiple Champions League games, and Fikayo Tomori looked like the one who was playing his first game with that team. That's the way it goes. Look, I mean, yeah. This game, before we break down the individual goals and whatnot, this game was basically, first 45 minutes was three or four first-team players for us, maybe even a little bit less for them, going at it. We had a two-goal lead at halftime, happy days. Then for the second half, from minute 45 to like 65, 70, it was essentially their first team against our majority backups. And that's where the momentum in the game totally swung. So I'm instantly taking the credibility of the result out of the equation, to be honest. It's the incidents that we care about. But then the last 20 minutes when we brought on our internationals who'd only had like two or three training sessions, they looked pretty sharp. And we could have won it. Like Giroud's header on another day could go in. And you know, that is what it is. I thought there was some encouraging signs there. But yeah, Pulisic to Tomori for the first goal. A set-piece goal. Have we turned a corner?
Yeah, that was our first set-piece as well. I mean, that's a really good sign. It was an in-swinger, something we've been calling for like a season and a half now. And
we'd actually had one corner before that where Tomori was at the near post and it didn't really get picked up. It got like flicked behind and there was a bit of a scramble on the penalty spot and clear.
Right. I remember but that. Yeah. Was the and Colombo actually whiffed the shot on that. It fell to him. Yeah. So I forgot about that, but you're right. Oh, a Rebic to Saudi Arabia, 10 million. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, not official, just from Milan's own. I just got an update right now.
10 million what?
10 million euros?
Pesos? Oh.
Dollhairs?
But yeah, I mean, Pulisic looks great. He's obviously been the brightest person in preseason for us. And I think the reason for that is, he was fresh off a Nations Cup win. B, he's the only player who's been in training this whole time who's going to be around the first team, you know, either a starter or first off the bench guy. Like when you look at the rest of the lineup, it was very much, as you said, bench players, youth players, the people who didn't have anything going on in the summer. And Pulisic typically won't be one of those guys, but he was here early. He came in. He's had the most training. Mm-hmm. So, he looks the best, and that makes sense. Looked fantastic. Looked great. Really happy to see it. We're at three assists now. I know it doesn't count towards our bet medicine, but things aren't looking too good for you if this is any indicator of how that's going to go. And happy with that. All three of the errors came from just really, really, really poor decision-making. Obviously, Tomori played a perfect pass to Valverde, which led to the first goal. Second one was Sportiello. Just
all the way around. Sportiello was the first one, but yeah, same thing.
I'm pretty sure it was the second one, but regardless.
Yeah.
Went straight through his legs. He got nutmegged. I mean, that was embarrassing. And those were 2 minutes apart, those goals. The third one, which was weird because it was after the Stars came on and we started looking good again, looking better. Liao plays a perfect pass to Modric, who plays a perfect pass to Vinny Jr., who is left alone with Simon Kjær. And let's be real. Is 40-year-old Kjær going to be able to catch Vinicius Jr., the best player in the world right now, probably? And
there's not many defenders who can. So
no,
definitely
the answer is no. And
yeah,
so that went through it. And Maignan, obviously, you can't blame him for not saving that. He had just been brought on as well. Mm-hmm. That's his first
interaction.
I'm just
happy he didn't do his calf trying to save it.
Yeah, honestly. But, you know, let's speak about someone who did get injured. Macias, the guy who's in the shop window, who shouldn't have started, but Pioli can't help himself but start him. Yeah. Now he's hurt, and now he might not go to Torino. Who knows?
Hmm. Yeah, I thought we got a question about that. Loftus Cheek when I first saw it, and I had a mini heart attack.
Loftus Cheek did go down.
No.
Loftus Cheek went down holding the back of his leg, and I'm instantly thinking, not Achilles again, please. But thankfully, it was just a boot that he got rather than, and it should have been a foul, but it was just a boot that he got rather than any like structural damage, which is all good. He played on.
He looked fantastic, though, in the. First goal, or no, in the Romero goal. The Romero goal was incredible, by the way. It was Krunic who won it back.
He looked pretty good.
Yeah. I thought Loftus-Cheek actually was one of the better, like, non-offensive players. I thought he was probably the best on the field for us. Krunic won the ball back, passed it to Loftus-Cheek, who immediately, first time, flicked it to Calabria, who then passed it to Luca Romero, then just takes a fucking incredible near-post top corner shot that that beat everyone. I mean, that was one of the best goals I've seen in a long time. It's an irrelevant goal, but it was really fucking nice and extremely hyped on Luka Romero. I didn't think I would be. I didn't care. I was like, 18-year-old, he's not going to play, whatever. Nah, get this kid in. We don't need Chukwueze. Still come. Still come. We want you. We want you.
He says that his best role is actually behind the striker. I'm conscious about playing him there based on Brahim's physique and size and how that didn't really work out. But it is interesting. Maybe there could be a role for him there as a backup if we stick with the 4-2-3-1. But yeah, it was an incredible
role. I'm curious how that formation change is going to work out with our personnel now, the 4-3-3. You saw when the second or when everyone subbed off on the 70 mark, we saw Adley and CDK come on at the same time with Reinders, who looked good, although the final corner didn't beat the first man.
That was awful.
Final kick of the game. Yeah, that was embarrassing. And it was an outswinger, go figure. But yeah, I don't know. Seeing Adley and CDK play together.
Adley was good, you know. He was
it's just weird because I think of both of them.
He's always been good.
Offensive.
He has not looked bad. Just Pioli does not like him.
Yeah. Well, I saw today he might go to Lille.
Yeah, he keeps being linked with an exit. I think if we manage to get Amlin, like, I don't want this to be the case. And I think people have mistook our realism with Adley for like our personal opinion. We all wanted to see him more last season and it didn't happen for whatever reason. But if Pioli really doesn't trust him, and it's very clear that he's been given the keys to this squad, if he doesn't trust him, then we should probably try to get our money back and use it for a player in a position that we actually need, because he falls into that grey area of like, is he box to box? Is he a number 10? Should he be playing out wide like he did at Bordeaux? Like, I don't think Pioli really knows where to put him, but I think that if he does hang around, he could be like a really useful impact player coming on in one of the box-to-box midfield roles, just for driving the ball forward, like getting the ball to the wingers, because that is one thing he is good at, is moving it vertically pretty quick. So maybe we'll see some signs in the Juve and Barca games suggesting he should hang around.
Off topic, but going back to what I just said about Rebic, it's not a 10 million offer from Saudi Arabia. It's him rejecting a 10 million euro contract from Saudi Arabia. So this motherfucker won't leave. Turn it down the most money he's ever going to get to fucking be frozen out.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Rebic anymore, eh?
No. While we're on the subject, how do you feel about the way that the club have handled the squad that we've taken out to the USA? Like, we've left out Rebic, Origi, Balotore, Lazetic. Like, we've basically told them, go, because you are not at all a part of our plans. You're not even coming for preseason to help with numbers.
I feel two ways about this. I feel like it's disrespectful, right? But for far too long, the club has been too nice to players who refuse to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. And so, like, at some point, it's got to be a business decision and you have to take emotions out of it. Like, me as like a person, I'm like, that's not nice, man. Like, they just want to play. But also, like, yo, fucking leave.
Yeah. When you're turning down offers like that Rebic one, like, take a hint, dude. We don't want you here. Get out. You know, we're trying to get rid of you.
Milan if you want to stay here, but go earn your money somewhere else.
I think it's the right move. You got to freeze them out. That's the only way they're going to move. Then you get to see the type of person they are, the type of man they are. Is, do you want to do something with your career, or do you just want to sit around and steal money, you know?
But also, like, Bakayoko was kind of frozen out, but then we started seeing him play again.
I think we were kind of forced. January. Yeah, I think we just didn't have an option, to be honest. But he's another one who, like, just chose to sit around for 2 years and collect a paycheck doing nothing.
You know, he rejected so many exits.
Yeah, and I get not wanting to go to some of the more undesirable leagues. But if that's your only option, if your option is sit around and not play or collect massive money to go play in Saudi Arabia, like, come on, you know, just do it. Like, that's frustrating. But you know what? I think it's working because they turned down offers prior to the tour. And now all of a sudden I'm seeing Origi might be swayed to join West Ham when prior he was saying, no, I'm not leaving. But now it's like, oh, you aren't going to play at all. I might as well do something. And that at least shows that he wants to be a footballer. He wants to have a career and play. And a Rebic, we'll see what happens with that.
I don't feel at all sorry for Rebic, because His last two seasons have been a massive letdown compared to his previous level. And also towards the end of last season, he was the one who wasn't showing the professionalism. Like, he wasn't pulling his weight in training and purely left him out of the squad for the last three games. So take a hint. You know, your attitude's not good enough. You're not wanted here. You better figure something out, you and your agent. Origi, I do feel sorry for, genuinely, because I don't think he's not tried. I don't think any of us could accuse him of being unprofessional. Like, he worked hard over last summer to try and get back from this tendon problem. He played through it, and it wasn't really happening. He didn't manage to make any useful contributions last season, and that's really bad. But we're the ones who gave him a four-year deal. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he just wants to make it work in some way. But we've
said, remember, we signed him while injured. Like, if we wanted to give him one more season to say, we'll give you the opportunity to prove that you are what we thought you were, then that's fair. You know, I wouldn't have any issue with that, but this has got to be his last season. If he doesn't contribute this one, he's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's going anyway, to be honest. Like, we've left him out the squad. You know, he'd be here if we saw him as a part of. But it makes you wonder if things are actually further along than what they're letting on with reports, you know. It feels like they'd be here unless there was something in the pipeline, because otherwise that really is quite harsh. Origi, I think, could potentially go back to the Premier League, or he's got offers from West Ham, which, you know, fair enough. He may or may not want to do that. He's got offers in Saudi Arabia as well, which could financially change his life. Rebic, we'll see what happens. Lazetic, I guess we're always expecting to go out on loan. And Balotelli seems to be choosing between two or three clubs at the moment. So, yeah, fair enough. Don't bring them. And we'll see what happens, I guess, because the sales of those players could free up some room to do a little bit more business. I see you've changed to talking points, but that's all I've got to say on the Real Madrid game, basically. It was a game that was like split into 45 minutes and then two like halves in the second half. But the starters looked good when they came on. We'll see a bit more of them against Juve on Thursday, I would imagine, which will be interesting against a rival that we have no idea what they're going to look like heading into next season. And before starting on the Gabbia tangent, I thought Giancarlo Simic looked pretty good. The two 18-year-olds that we had in the team, Simic and Romero, looked okay. If they can hold their own against a team like Real Madrid, regardless of if it's their backups, then there's something there.
I just thought it was so strange how this is the third player named Simic to play center back for us in preseason and not a first team game. That's the weirdest fucking little trivia tidbit ever.
Yeah.
There needs to be not even related. None of them are related. That's the weird part.
Yeah, like...
that is weird.
Dario Simic does have a son, but he's a striker who plays you know, wherever he's gone now. He was at Salzburg. So, yeah, let's hope that as these games go on, the Juve and Barcelona ones, we see a bit more of a semblance of how the starting lineup looks. Okafor's going to come in, you'd imagine, and get some playing time. And then maybe Chukwueze. Maybe Chukwueze will get out there later this week as well for some playing time. That would be very exciting. The bonus podcast this week is going to be on Noah Okafor. So we won't go into that deal too much, but it was done incredibly quickly. And, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm happy. Bidair did a segment on Martino's pod where he was like basically saying talent at that price, even if there's a couple of little caveats like, his injury record isn't great. He's never scored 20 a season, whatever. Talent at that price, bring it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The guy is such a Milan fan. The day it was announced, he changed his Instagram profile picture four times. Each one was a different picture of him in the Milan shirt. Like he just couldn't decide which one he liked the most.
Aww.
And then in the video they posted today of him arriving in L.A., you see his phone background, and it's him doing this in the Milan jersey. Like, he's just so happy to be here. He loves it.
That's what I like about the signings that we've made so far. Like, Pulisic in training has a huge smile on his face. Okafor looks super happy to be here. Reinders, probably butcher his name. I apologize.
But
like he in a way forced his way out, you know? So, like, these players want to be here. And for our project, like, with like salary restrictions and stuff, like those are the kind of players that you want, because when it comes to renewal time, they'll be easier to negotiate with.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and if we're replacing a guy like Tonali who took the pay cut to stay here, like with these other people who desire to be here, have said like, this is the club of my dreams, or this was my father's club as a child, right. You know, all these things, like that only makes it easier to continue down the road. Two last bits about Okafor is one, he was listening to Taylor Swift on the way to the airport or to the training ground. So big man, love him. And the other thing he said was that he found out that we wanted to sign him 2 weeks ago. Well, we didn't find out until the day of. So that means we are doing some stuff under covers. And with all the stuff that's actually in the news, that makes you think of all the stuff that isn't. So, I mean, big up to Jerry, man. Redbird is moving.
Do you know what another mad thing about that is? That there was one source who was maintaining throughout everything that all the links this summer that we were still interested in Okafor, and it was Calcio Mercato. And it's like, no offense, but if they're getting stuff right, then it just goes to show that you don't know who you can rely on anymore.
Getting things right or throwing things against the wall and seeing what sticks.
I mean, it's a pretty specific name that nobody else was saying. Like, they got it right. You've just got to say, fair enough. We were interested for those 2 weeks and we got it done. Of course, they'll be judged on other things that happen between now and the end of the window, but such is the way that football journalism works. Should we move on and do some questions?
Yeah, let's
do we got some good ones this week, and I figure we'll cover most of the topics that are, you know, the hot ones at the moment. Marcus Villea asks, who is your favourite signing of the transfer window so far, including Chukwueze? Presuming that he gets over the line. Apparently, it is pretty much done. The documents are being exchanged at present.
Well, if you take a look in the mirror to my left of the screen, you'll see a jersey. That is Pulisic. So
that's Zlatan's match worn one against Hellas Verona.
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah. So that should make it pretty obvious for you. But Okafor moves me, man. I'm a big fan. I hate the 17. I hate that number so much. But I'll probably get an Okafor shirt fairly soon here. So it's Pulisic or him.
I'm gonna say outside of Pulisic, because I feel like any rightfully level-headed American would be most excited for your best player to sign for your club. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go Reinders. I just have a thing for midfielders. I don't know like why I like it's just my favorite position. I'll probably buy his jersey.
Yeah, totally understandable selections from you two boys. I am going to go with, since he said that we can include it, Chukwueze. I think he's the one that we've wanted all summer. We've remained very patient. I think Pioli has always had it in his mind that eventually we're going to upgrade the right wing pretty heavily. And that could completely change the way that we play. Like, to just have a two-sided attack will be absolutely massive. It'll give Leal more space. It'll give the centre forward more space. It has probably facilitated the transition to kind of a more compact midfield three, be that a flat three or a triangle, whatever way you want to look at it, because you need to cover for the additional attacking tendencies. But I think that could be the one that, you know, really, really does elevate the way that we play. And I'm really excited to see him. I hope that gets over the line and that we're not jinxing it by mentioning his name. But I'm very excited to see him. I think he'll be the highest fee of the summer when you factor in bonuses. Which is a statement signing in itself. The one I'm most interested to see is Okafor. And as I said, we will talk about this on the bonus pod. But I'm interested to see what role we have in mind for him, because he's played in a lot of different positions and, you know, it's different playing in Serie A compared to the Austrian Bundesliga as well. So there's that to factor in. Abdullah asks, does Messi ask, and he emphasised the ass, does Messi ask his injury yesterday rule him out of a transfer? No.
I sure hope not.
No, it doesn't. Here's something that a lot of people don't know. Players can pass medicals when they're injured. As long as that injury is pre-declared and they know, then as long as everything else is fine, then they will pass the medical.
Yeah, Milan knows that. We sign injured players all the time.
Literally did, yeah. Origi, we were just talking about it. Players have signed for other clubs with broken legs. A Huddersfield player once signed for Norwich with his leg in half.
Ross Barkley signed for Chelsea with a broken leg.
I was going to say Zlatan signed for us in a cast, didn't he? The first time around from Barca?
I think he was, yeah, he had a, He'd had something done that summer, yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember he was at it was Barca versus Milan in LA for that preseason, and he was there with Barca in a cast, and then that was like the week that it got announced he went to Milan, and then he just fucking just walked to the other side of the field. Something like that. I don't remember. You'll have to quote me on that, or don't quote me on that, but yeah.
Let's hope that you know he goes without being awful. He's made his contributions. He's probably done a bit more than you'd expect for a player who cost us like 5-6 million total, but the time has come to move on. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with Salamakers as well. Came on at right back in that friendly, which was interesting, probably due to the lack of an actual right back because Kalulu didn't play. We got a question about that. I just don't think that those two are deemed part of the plans anymore. Abdullah's second part of his question was, there are talks of signing 4 more players, but we've already spent 90 mil this window. Do we have the funds for 4 more players? Well,
find out if we spend it.
Yeah. I think that if you just do a bit of quick math, even 70 mil for Tonali guaranteed, 80 mil including add-ons, but let's call it 70 mil in addition to the 40, 50 mil that we were going to be given anyway as a net spend for the summer. Let's call it 40. That probably gives us a bit of wiggle room, you know, 20 mil, maybe 25 or something to bring in a couple more players. And then I think it will be dependent on sales. I think we're trying to sign a backup left back for less than 10 million. There's all kinds of names at the moment, like Calafiore, Rogerio at Sassuolo is the latest one. We had a report on our site, an exclusive. We made a 10 mil bid for Cambiasso at Juve, but they want double that. So we're not going to pay a 20 mil for a backup left back. So I think we'll spend cheap on that. And then we might look to get in that last midfielder for 15, 20 mil, be it Musa or Dominguez. And then I think for the finishing touches, you know, maybe a young striker that's been mentioned by Sky, trying to get in a young centre forward, a natural centre forward who's more like Giroud, and maybe a right back if we work something out for Singo with Macias, Torino, that kind of thing. But sales will be important as well, because if you've got limited operating margins to get in those last couple of pieces, and then all of a sudden Adli goes for 10 mil, Origi goes for 10 mil, who knows, CDK goes for 25, 30 mil, something like that, that can totally change things. All of a sudden we're back in the market for another start level player. So it'd be interesting. I love the position that we're in because we've addressed pretty much all of the major needs. We have a month to fine tune the squad. Obviously, you want it all done and dusted by your first game of the season, but we know that it don't work that way. Teams get desperate towards the end of the window. There might be some big offloads going, like we might be able to get, say, you know, like Ekitike on loan or something. You never know what can come up, basically. But we're in the position of being able to seize these opportunities rather than feeling pressured to do business for the sake of it.
And we're the only team in Italy that's spending money right now. I mean, obviously,
only team who's also upgraded.
Yeah, like obviously Inter have spent the 40 mil for Chiesa, but that's next season. And outside of that, like it's there also really not hasn't been. Oh yeah, there's that too. But yeah, I mean, no one else has really spent anything.
They also don't have a goalkeeper.
I thought they got Sommer.
He's not there yet. Turned him down.
they flew out for this tour of Japan that they're doing without a registered senior goalkeeper. So they've essentially got three kids going out there. Like one of them's 16, I think. So that's mad, but they are going to get somebody, and Sommer actually wouldn't be a terrible pickup, I don't think. But it is quite funny that it's come to this, you know.
Yeah.
Hassan Abu Jerry asks, number one, do you think Okafor was signed to be the starting number 9? Well, quick answer on that, because I think we need to talk about it more in the bonus. No.
I would like to see it happen, but I don't think so. I think he's going to rotate.
I also don't think that he's like your typical number 9.
No. It's just a different profile than Giroud. Giroud's the target man with the headers. Okafor is more movement-based and creative. It depends on the type of team we're playing. I think a low block, you're going to bring in Giroud, who just gets in the box and you throw shit in there. A higher defensive line, then you let Okafor run around and try to create something. So we'll see.
Man, Liao, Okafor.
Chukwueze, oof. Throw Pulisic behind the striker.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Lost his cheek, Reinders. Yeah. Second question that he asks is it just me or does Pulisic slightly remind me of Torgrud when he speaks? I think that's just American, is it not?
So I don't know if I'm offended or not because I've been watching his interviews and I swear this kid's autistic. So I think I'm a little I mean, I don't even mean that like in a defensive way. I just, you hear the way he talks and it's a lot of, you know, it's just a little something that it doesn't seem all there to me.
He's a bit deliberative. Do you know what? Right. This is,
he's media trained. That's what it is.
Oh, he is. Yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah. Torgrud clearly is not media trained.
No, sir.
Not yet.
I'm a loose cannon.
I haven't listened to any of the interviews on normal speed so far, which sounds mad, but I've been listening to all of them on half speed so I can transcribe, because otherwise it goes too fast, which means that every single player I'm thinking, God, this guy sounds dopey, but it's because he's on half speed. I'm thinking, Ryan, is he speaking very, very slow here? And then I realize so what I'm doing. Yeah, you should do it, actually, just for entertainment purposes. Listen to 30 seconds of an interview on half speed, and then you're thinking, this guy's on something. But, yeah, so I don't know the answer to that question, but I think maybe they just both sound American. Maybe that's Rassiz, actually.
The way you said that, that was weird. Rassiz.
Rassiz, no. P1899 asks, thoughts on Simic as our Gabia replacement, assuming that he leaves?
I like it.
But I didn't know he existed until about 9 o'clock last night. So I'm not giving a real review on that, you know, but I thought he looked good in the game.
Yeah, I thought he looked decent, right?
Yeah.
He didn't blow my mind. Yeah. He played better than I expected him to.
Yeah.
He made one really good intervention, that block on a Militao volley inside the box. I mean, you've got to at least have something about your positioning wise to do that. And also, he was really highly rated at Stuttgart. Like, Stuttgart were gutted to lose him. I think he was like future captain material for them. And it's interesting that he's gone so quickly through our hierarchies as well to now being like the next centre back in line. Kubis is injured for a couple of months, so it might have been him. But I think Simic is a bit more mobile and that might work in his favour. We'll keep an eye on him. There's him, Xhaka Traore, who I would like to see a bit of, you know, last half hour maybe of the other friendlies. There's Zeroli, who scored against Lumezzane. Batshuayi, we brought. I don't think he's going to play much. He's a backup left back. And I can't remember the other one that we've brought. Oh, Lapo Nava, who's the goalkeeper. And yeah, I think we're going to use the time to get Sportiello some rhythm rather than play him, but who knows? It's exciting. You know, this is the time of year where you get to see what some of these Primavera players are actually like against grown adults. But don't get ahead of ourselves. Like, you know, it sounds like we're actually after a centre back from Valencia to replace Gabia. Facundo Gonzalez, who has not played a senior game for them yet. He plays in their B team, but they play in the second division in Spain, so like Serie B. But he captained Uruguay's under-20s at their World Cup last month, and they won. And they won because they were so good defensively. And he was a big part of that. And it sounds like Moncada has picked him out and said, yep, him. And it could be another Kalulu type thing where we get a gem for a low fee. So I would support that kind of operation. You know, Gabir is not a modern defender. I hate to say it, but he's more of an old-fashioned defender to me. He's not mobile. He can't play a high line. He's not going to press high up the pitch. But he is good in the air. He does use his size. A year on loan in Spain might do him good in terms of varying what he's good at. But I don't hate the idea of bringing in a young centre-back to be like that fourth, fifth choice, because we don't know what Kier is going to be like either. So if this Gonzalez guy comes in and looks really good from the start, he might be like fourth choice immediately. And Kier is an absolute break glass in case of emergency type player. But Simic, yeah, let's let him grow in peace. Tito Mac, Kalulu did not play any part in the Real Madrid game. Any inside info as to why? Seems like a big omission. Now, Kalulu was not even named in the squad. I didn't even realise that until yesterday. I can't think why. I've been racking my brain since I saw that question. I don't get it.
Pioli masterclass.
Maybe he's leaving.
Maybe. You know? I mean, there has been some rumours, but I feel it.
Didn't he travel with the squad, though?
Oh, yeah, I presume so. Yeah, he's named in the squad. Maybe he's carrying something from the under 21 euros. Or maybe the fact that I think France went deep in that. So maybe the fact that he's had international commitments a bit more recent than the other players means that he's had a longer break or something. I don't know. But I can't think why he hasn't played a minute.
And it's weird that, you know, you said he wasn't even in the squad, and then you see Salamakers playing right back instead. Like, obviously, Kalou should be the center back, but we know he'll play right back. So it's weird that we're shoehorning him there, you know, and instead of just playing Kalou.
The last game that Kalou played was earlier this month, 2nd of July. He played in the knockout stages. France got beat 3-1 by Ukraine at the under 21 Euros. So maybe the fact that he's played internationals into July, whereas the others were just June, means that
they're going to give him a bit more. Yeah, but that's still 3 weeks ago.
It's a long time ago. Yeah.
His guys deserve a break. 3 weeks?
Fair enough. It's not like this game mattered. So maybe that's all it is. But he did travel with the squad, right? He's in USA. Yeah.
I'm sure he's still training and stuff.
Right. Yeah, so maybe that's all it was. Maybe he just was getting an extra bit of a break, and then he'll play against Juve or Barca or something.
I would hope that, like, in one of these games, we see a full-strength starting 11.
I think you'll see that the last bit against Barca.
Barca.
Because at some point, like, we have to do – like, we can't just go into game one never having started these guys, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we've got a trophy to win at the start of next month, the Berlusconi Trophy. Against Monza, so that could be mad. I'd just play the kids in that.
Is that going to be how it used to be, the three-team, 30-minute round?
No, it's just us against Monza, and it's going to alternate when it's at their stadium and our stadium.
Interesting.
So they're definitely winning that. Yeah, no, that's serious, yeah. And then we're also playing some Moroccan team at Milanello like a week after. I don't get that. I don't know what that's all about. I thought it was a joke at first. Like, why would we play some random team at Milanella? But whether it's like some invitational thing, I don't mind. It's better than a training session. Any game situation is better than a training session, so it's fine with me. I think we'll see the starters used more and more as preseason goes on. It's 99.9% being predetermined who's playing what minutes. You know, game situations do not dictate the allocation of minutes in this situation. So I think it's already outlined very, very formally when players are going to play. So we'll see them rotated in and out. We'll wrap it up there, boys. Just before, I forgot to do it at the start of the episode. So I'm going to read out the list of the founding members on Substack. Remember, tune in later this week. We're going to have the Noah Okafor profile. Hope you've been enjoying the new signing profiles that we've been doing on the Substack, and drop a comment if you want us to do anything different with that, anything you want us to look into, whatever. But yeah, the founding members, Ali Tarin, Tito Mack, Moritz Polman, Joey Gawler, and Kemin are our founding members. Thank you so much for your support, and thank you to everybody else who has subscribed on Substack. Obviously, more exciting stuff coming out on that this week, and we'll be back with a bonus podcast later this week. I've been your host, Ollie Fisher. Find me on Twitter at Ollie Fisher.
AJ. Yep, Twitter45. I've abandoned the Threads thing because I think everyone has abandoned Threads, but that was fun for a day. And
What's happened with that, by the way? It seems like it's just died.
Yeah, I think it's just fact. Yeah, they just need to make it to where they basically need to make it just a Twitter clone, you know, instead of the Instagram algorithm, like with accounts you don't follow. That's just weird.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Yeah. No. Yeah. Are you going to stay on X then?
Probably.
Madness.
The website, not the drug, by the way.
X don't videos. Use...
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, just need to make sure that's clear.
Yeah. Yeah. Been good. Had some exciting signings and a few more to come, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, give us a rating on your favorite podcast platform. Really helps the algorithm. And also shout out to Rossoneri TV. He was doing a live stream of the game last night, and he was using like a feed, and it got shut down in the first half, which was a real shame. But I dropped a comment on there about how the referees are as bad as in Italy. And the comments thing just exploded. Like, is this the real Sempre Milan? Is this Ollie? And he gave a shout out on the stream. So top bloke. And I'm sorry that it got shut down because I was really enjoying watching along with that. thank you everyone for watching, and we will see you in a week's time.
Dale. Goal! Ancora Dale! È una meraviglia! Il gol di Dale Hernandez! Da un'ora all'altra! È una meraviglia! Senti il mio...